Did you see the cat appear at the side? I think if I was a cat, I would have left home. The makes me feel exhausted just looking at that. And it's a long time since I've tried to put people into baby grows, but never that many at a time. I think two at a time was as far as we got. So just have a little rest. We're going to pursue. It would help if I, instead of hitting my paper notes when I wanted it to move, I actually hit the hit the screen. Okay, we're talking about a series of sessions on spiritual intelligence. It's a term I came across a few years ago in a book that was written by one of the guys who was on the staff of the Evangelical Alliance. Never actually got round to reading the book, but I thought it was a useful concept because once upon a time we thought that there was just one kind of intelligence, that was intellectual. People were measuring it from round about 1911, exactly 1911. People did tests from that time on. But recently people have begun to realise there's other kind of intelligences. There's creative intelligence, there's emotional intelligence, which is pretty important. Perhaps in the same way, it's useful to think in terms of spiritual intelligence as well. Of course, just because people are intelligent doesn't mean to say they behave intelligently. And that's a bit of a warning. So we'll bundle some things together under those sort of topics. Dayspring's vision is that we see Dayspring becoming a church made up of people growing in whole life spirituality. So we are concerned about the spiritual sphere joined together in outward looking relationships. We're interested in a community as well, where our neighbours matter most, which is shaped for our world. So we're concerned about our relevance, our cultural appropriateness, and works together with others in the power of the Spirit to transform community in Wiltshire and beyond. The cookery courses, as with many of the other things we do, are concerned with transformation. We believe that it's important that every aspect of our lives, and as insofar as we can help other people, their lives as well, conformed to the best that they can be. Now, got a blank slide there. This is, you will remember that last week Carol and Marion were looking at the area of low mood, which is connected with depression. We weren't focusing in on the kind of situation where people need medical help, but we were thinking about how people can be down, not just feeling fed up or a little overtired, but how we can feel seriously down. And if you look at the recording on the website, you'll find that those slides, particularly that one, which is an interesting one, is attached, and photographs of the two charts from last week as well. Marion led us through some analysis of Psalm 42, which is the sort of thing which I would encourage you to do if you're reading your Bible, to actually have a look at things from the point of view of a topic. Some people can just read Bible text and it makes sense to them. Other people need to read with a pencil and pad in their hand and start to have a look and make some analysis. So that's a sort of analysis, isn't it? That matrix over there. And here's some other this sort of mind maps that were developed. Psalm 42. We looked at all the things. We looked together at all the different things that indicated that David was in a difficult position. And then we looked at the ways in which he approached things. And we got into a bit of technicalising, of giving sort of special terms. I don't know what I think. Sometimes it is useful to say, oh, there's a word for this that I'm feeling. Sometimes I think that giving a word to it only makes it worse. A few weeks ago, perhaps a week and a half ago, I'd reached that point when I was just about to go to sleep and was thinking, now, is there anything I need to worry about to keep myself awake before I go to sleep? And suddenly, and it was almost out of nowhere, because I'd been thinking about this beforehand, the degree to which I am behind in my academic work began to get hold of me. I was laying there thinking, it can't be done in the time, which is a fairly rational thought, actually. And as I was beginning to think that, so there were all sorts of emotions and feelings that connected with that. I thought, oh, I'm having a panic attack. And then I thought to myself, look, well, no, I'm not having a panic attack. I am panicking, right? Of course, if you sit there and worry about things, then your pulse rate goes up and you get yourself in a state. But then you deal with it and you move on. So there's a bit of a mixture with these things. Sometimes giving things a label will get you help. Sometimes thinking, oh, I'm having a flashback when something comes to mind, as inevitably that's been happening for me this week. Sometimes it's better just to say, no, I haven't got post-traumatic stress disorder. What I've got is I'm doing something that's perfectly natural, that things come back to your mind and you find yourself thinking about them. So we need to have the right mix. Of course, it's sensible to say that David felt emotionally drained, but when he says that I poured out my soul, that may actually just mean that he prayed seriously. Of course, when it talks about downcast soul, these are good words to describe it, aren't they? The fact that he was hopeless and had deep sadness. Now, circumstances can affect the way we feel at times. And as I was preparing for today, because it had come out 3 or 4 weeks thinking, I was thinking back to a situation I was in some years ago. And I was with Richard Cole in Sierra Leone, and it was during the Civil War. And we'd gone through all sorts of checkpoints. And as was Richard's wont, he was telling me all the stories about the times they'd almost been attacked in his house in Waterlooville. And I was staying there that night, and my sleep wasn't helped by the fact that he used to get up early, and his wife used to get up early, about 3 a.m, to start praying. And being typical West Africans, if they prayed, they didn't pray with their mouths shut. They prayed with their mouths open, and they prayed very loudly. So into the mix of this, and I was taking Larium tablets for malaria at the time, which don't really help the way you're thinking. I was going over some of the stories because we've been talking about the fact that where they were, people used to regularly put hooks even through the burglar bars on the windows to get stuff out the room, and that houses have been attacked and there have been trucks with light machine guns mounted on the back with South African mercenaries driving up and down the road while we've been there. And at the checkpoint, somebody had said to me, oh, you're really brave. We don't see white people here, which wasn't terribly helpful. And during the night, it all seemed more difficult. And in the morning, when the light came, it seemed a lot better. And I've been thinking about that. And I was also thinking about the fact that for a couple of weeks, there had been phrases from songs which had been coming to me and sticking with me. to the point that I had forgotten what the song was and couldn't find the song in some cases because I couldn't remember the words. And I had to talk to Alan and Yana because it was a song they'd been singing, and it took them half an hour or so to work out which song it was. And so I had been looking at this particular thing that we'd come across in Psalm 42. So when I came across this last week, I thought, yeah, I'm going to, you know, I wanted to follow that up. Because there was this verse in Psalm 42, right, that we read, in the context of feeling down, in the context of low mood, the person who wrote the psalm was saying, by day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. So I want to take you through something this morning, and this is my takeaway from this morning, and we'll come back to this. Spiritually intelligent people use singing to put their hope in God. Okay, just so you caught that, will you say that with me, please? Spiritually intelligent people use singing to put their hope in God. Okay, now what I want to do is to do a little bit of biblical study as we go along to look at some tools. And we're going to start off with one of the very few places in the New Testament where it talks about singing. And this is in Ephesians chapter 5. So here's the text. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So where I'm starting from is this. As we are filled with the Spirit, we speak to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Now there are lots of people who have tried to separate out the categories, psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Can't do it. There's no real way of working out what that might mean. But what it's saying is to use different kinds of songs. That's the first thing there. By the way, there's also a bit of an implication here. It could be that the result of being filled with the Spirit is that we do this. The other possibility is that by doing this, it becomes a mechanism to be filled with the Spirit. Okay? That as we stir ourselves up by singing, then we open ourselves to the Spirit as well. So that's interesting. I wanted just to pull up a couple of points from here. First of all, that we sing to one another. Okay? Now that may not be a blessing. We had an experience just a few weeks ago around the coffee hatch, and Roy and Marion and I were talking, and Linda was involved as well, and Roy and Linda were saying that they'd heard Roy's mum singing a song which was called Come and Dine, the Master calleth, Come and Dine. And I said, I can remember that one from my childhood. And so I sung it through and just sort of sung it a little bit. I said, I know that. He who fed the multitudes, turned the water into wine, to the hungry now is calling, come and dine. And Marion said, yes, I knew that song as well. We used to sing it in Tobago. And she sung the song through. She said, I used to sung it to a different tune, she said, and sung it through. And I thought, blow me down, that's a tune I've just been singing. it happens. So sometimes those of us who are singing wonderfully, beautifully in our heads, it doesn't quite come out as it starts off. But so singing to one another may be a blessing, maybe not. But that actually is a reason for joining in with singing that we need to take account of. You may think, oh, I don't need to do this, I can sit here quietly. Well, the rest of the group may need it. And one of the things I really enjoyed this morning was I was sitting outside writing up my notes because I'd been up in Lincoln interviewing people on Friday and didn't get back till Saturday, and so was a bit behindhand, was to actually listening to people singing together. And that's significant. Singing together is a good thing. You're singing an interesting song this morning, of which Redman has picked out a little bit to put in there, but there are other verses to that as well. My sins, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sins, not in part, but the whole. What's happened to them? Come on, Rachel, you know the next line. Have been nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more, bear them no more. Blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord. And I can't remember the last line, but there's a lot more to it. And quite often, singing to one another is helpful if it helps us to state things in the Bible which we need to remind ourselves of. And then I'll come back to that. And secondarily, according to this passage, singing is singing to God. Interesting that it puts it in that order. It tells us other things as well. Unusually, that particular verse, let's go back. Takes quite a long time to get back. I'll get there in a minute. Yeah, where it talks about speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, that is almost exactly the same in Colossians as well as Ephesians. And when it talks about it there, it's talking about teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So it's recognised that there is a teaching function in our singing. Okay, moving on, I want to look at a third thing about singing that we actually sing to ourselves as well. Now, you won't get that from the New Testament, but bear in mind the Christians in New Testament times had a Bible, but their Bible was the Old Testament. And that's why some things don't get talked about much in the New Testament. They get talked about in the Old Testament, and they are carried through. And things like that verse that we mentioned early on, by day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. So, how do we do it? How do we carry this stuff forward? Here's a question for you. Has anybody here, I'm going to ask you to, at this point, to tell me about it, but I'm going to ask you to tell one another, but how many people here have at times benefited from singing psalms, hymns or spiritual songs to themselves? Hand up. Okay, almost all of you. Well, talk to one another about it. Give an example, and if you can give the context, somewhere that was really dramatic or something that was quite recent. How have you benefited from singing psalms, hymns or spiritual songs to yourself? Okay, off you go. 3 minutes. Okay, it's pretty much... I think it would be relatively rare that if I asked a question like that, almost every hand would go up, apart from those lazy people who couldn't be bothered to put their hands up. for Christians like us, it's almost a universal experience that songs will be beneficial and will do a job. And of course, historically, for Christians, that has been the case, that songs will come to mind. I was talking to a woman yesterday evening. She is I wouldn't like to stand in her way when she's in a hurry. She works at Siemens in Lincoln. Both she and her husband are engineers. They've got a child at home. She is a brown owl. She plays trumpet. And she was telling the story of how she had come to faith through Bollywood dancing and going to India to paint murals on the walls of buildings. In between all of this, she looked back and said, when I was a teenager, I was in a band, and we would play in the Scout and Guide band, and I would feel good when I played. Was it the words or was it the tune? Well, lots of people feel good when they hear music. Music can be used to push forward all sorts of things. That's not good in itself. It can be used to start wars. It can be used to calm people down. And music can be the food of love. It can have all sorts of purposes. But for us, it's particularly when you add the words to the music that it actually becomes significant and important. So we've benefited in all sorts of ways. So my goal this morning is not to convince you about that, but to make sure that we're getting the most out of it and behaving intelligently as far as using singing is concerned. Here's a verse from the book of Job, where Elihu, I think that's how you pronounce his name, says, "Where is God my maker who gives me songs in the night?" Tell me five things about Job. What do you know about Job? Somebody tell me. Sorry, he was rich. What else? He had lots of children. He suffered a lot. He came back better than before. Pardon? He had some miserable friends. He refused to curse God. You don't remember that he was covered in boils? That's how it describes it. What was the medical treatment that he employed, which is wonderfully gruesome? He scraped himself with a broken pot, yes, there you are. So moving on with that image in mind. So here's a guy sitting down with his friends saying to him, "Curse God and die," where he's scraping himself with a pot. Elihu, who's the only sensible one among his friends, says, "Where is God my maker who gives me songs, who gives songs in the night?" Why do songs in the night matter? Why in the night?
It stops you from feeling scared.
There's no one else.
There's no one else. Yeah, you're alone, aren't you? Yeah. You're resting, or you're supposed to be resting, and of course sometimes you can't. I don't know whether you know, I'm just going to summarise the story, and if you want to hear more about it, you can. She can tell you in detail. But when Brenda was first connected with the church, she was having trouble with sleeping and dealing with some of the tough problems she has. And I gave her a holding cross. I think I've got one in my bag. I'm not giving it to anybody else. They're too expensive. Just like this. It's a very sort of traditional Catholic-y sort of thing. But it's just designed to be held. And if I'm praying for people on the street, I'll often give them a cross and say, "Will you hold this?" So they know that we're praying in the name of Jesus. You know, my sins nailed to the cross, healing in the cross, those sort of things. And I gave this cross to Brenda. She put it under a pillow, and I talked to her about whether it was making the fear better or not. And it was really interesting that initially holding the cross made it worse. But then afterwards it made it better. If you want me to talk about that, we'll do that on another occasion. Why it is that focusing on the cross can sometimes make you feel worse rather than better. And last week we were praying together, and Ah, gosh, there are so many problems that Brenda has to deal with. It's what comes with being a matriarch of a large family, the focus all goes that way. But interestingly, that cross has been doing the rounds. She had lent it to your sister or sister-in-law, and she had had it for a while because she had some issues. But just recently, her sister, who obviously is quite spiritually intelligent, had given the cross back during this week?
Last week,
To Brenda and said, I think you need this more than I do at the moment. And so it's gone back under a pillar again. Because during the night time, during the day, you don't have time to spit, let alone think. But it's when it comes to night time that these things sort of begin to push in on you. Now, what's your strategy for dealing with the pressures that come upon you at night? If you lay there, you know, you'll find people to blame. If you lay there, you will find that the issues appear to get bigger. If you lay there, you'll find that you want to have a go at somebody and you'll be preparing conversations in your head. But if you look for songs in the night, then things could be really different. You see, it's a common experience. You know, we're talking about, what, 3,000 years ago? Somebody wrote this. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. Yeah? He also says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Do you ever go to bed and say, Lord, I'm going to put this problem to you. I need some advice. I want you to help me. I want you to want to leave it with you. Please show me what to do. And sometimes it's possible to wake up with those things in your mind. But here's the thing. How far do you... Yeah, let's move on a bit. Actually, there's time to sing as well when you're feeling up as well as when you're feeling down, right? Let his faithful people rejoice in this honour and sing for joy on their beds. I find it's quite easy to sing sometimes when I'm just encouraged in God. And Wendy gets quite cross if she can hear me sort of singing before I go to sleep, right? She also gets really cross if I'm watching a funny video before I go to sleep because I make the bed shake with laughter, you see. But singing is a problem because her experience is that if I'm singing when I go to sleep, I may well be singing during the night. And, of course, I use the word singing very loosely in that way. But let his faithful people rejoice in this honour and sing for joy on their beds. Wouldn't it be great if we had a spiritually intelligent discipline of saying, before we go to sleep at night, we will think about the goodness of God. That will be our orientation. We will put the things of the day aside. We'll read a little bit of scripture, if that's our thing. We'll listen to a song. We'll reflect on God. We'll look at some picture which inspires us to praise God, and that will be where we will concentrate. Wouldn't that be a healthy thing to do? Wouldn't it promote spiritual health? I guess it would promote emotional health as well. I think it would be great if I did that. Normally, just before I go to sleep, I'm reading some sort of novel about some spy or somebody being murdered or other sort of relaxing things. At least I find them relaxing, particularly if the person deserves murdering. I'll put the book down, turn over, go to sleep. And that's okay, I guess. That works for me. But there are other times when I need to focus on the goodness of God. So, nearly there, not much more to go. Let me then come back to the point that we wanted to make this morning. Spiritually intelligent people use singing to put their hope in God. Now, singing works if you've got your songs right. Yeah? There are times, as you know, my mum died this week, and the week before, I'd been with her. She was struggling with a lot of pain and just started to take oral morphine, but was beginning to pray, and every now and then she would be saying, Jesus, or she'd be saying, Father. And I said to her, I said, Mum, are you finding you're able to pray a bit at the moment? This was, 10 days ago? And she said to me, not really pray. She said, more have a conversation. And so I said, I always thought conversational prayer was the best kind of prayer. And she sort of laughed. And I said to her, are you able to have a conversation? Oh, she said, I'm having a conversation all the time. He must be fed up with me. And then that went on for a little bit. And a little later, she would, Jesus, come on. And I said, what's come on about? Oh, she said, I don't want to wait. And I didn't at the time feel that I wanted to push that forward. But then a week later, she's in the presence of the Lord. Okay? She's moved through from that place. And inevitably, watching my parents at 89, watching my dad, who's, they describe it as having a holy memory, who sometimes can be there, is really sharp. He'll ask after all sorts of things. And one day, a couple of weeks, Wednesday, after we'd told him my mum had died, suddenly said to me, where's Luke? The answer is, Luke's in Spain, in Madrid, and is in rehearsal at the moment, but he will be back in time for the funeral. And my dad will say said to me, we need to make a list of all the people from the church to let them know. But then suddenly out of nowhere will come, how's that girl? What girl? Oh, my mother said, he means Carol. So I said to my dad, I said, I'm not sure I'd call her a girl. I said, she's just retired, which made him laugh a bit. But do you know, 30 years ago, Carol went through some pretty bad experiences, and my mum and dad were involved in counselling her. And those things have stuck. You know, that manifestation of spiritual intelligence and spiritual connection that goes on. And I would like to make sure that we're all doing our best at working towards the future. Because the future is, guys, you're going to die. And when you die, there's almost certainly going to be pain unless it catches you by surprise. And wouldn't it be great to think you were going to be able to pull back to the songs and to the words? And in fact, a week before she died, my mum was reciting just one line from one particular 1950s chorus that she knew very well. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, from the Ealing Chorus Book. That was going over and over in her mind. What would be going over in your mind? For you, it might be some sort of dreggy pop song. For me, it might be something of very high quality from Simon and Garfunkel or the Beach Boys. there could be thoughts of family and so on. But the thing that will help us will be if we use songs that put our hope in God. Of course, there are other ways of dealing with those stressy moments. As I was driving down this week, and I was fortunate that I was there when my mum died, but I started off, and I think I'd got on the 3102 up to Lynham, and I was thinking, now what do I need to do? And for the first hour or so, as I drove, I had nothing on at all. For the next hour, I was listening to a spy story about moles inside the CIA, and that was okay. But then afterwards, I needed to sing for a bit to encourage myself in God. Of course, singing isn't always the thing we need. And I want to tell you something, and I'm not very keen on the advice bit. I've tried to stay with the scripture this morning, and I do find that advice is unhelpful. The reason that advice is unhelpful is that what works for me will not work for you. Okay? It will work for some of you. At best, it will work for a quarter of you, but it won't work for the other three quarters. Here's an observation I make. Do you know, the time I need least to sing songs to myself are the times I'm most aware of the presence of God. Right? Because I don't need it then. I'm already connected. So, in fact, really singing songs is an initial line of defence in order to encourage ourselves. If you're conscious of walking with the Lord, being with the Lord, and I have to say that however much I've talked about it over the past few years, most of the time I'm not really conscious of being that close to God, then you're okay. In the meantime, I would like us to see how we get on with this one. Spiritually intelligent people use singing to put their hope in God. So that's why I've been asking you over the past few weeks, if I'd been MC in the meeting, I've asked you which bit of the song stuck with you. Okay? Now I wonder which bits you're going to take away from the songs we've sung this morning. If you don't know songs, what are you going to do about it? There are some people who listen to Christian music and work at it. Some of you don't particularly like listening to music, but I would suggest to you, probably, if you don't like it, it's a useful discipline to try and collate a few songs, put your own mix together. And it's so easy now when MP3s are available, when, if you're really tight, you can get YouTube videos for free. Just go over some songs. Get them there in your mind. Make a habit of listening to them when you're down, of listening to them when you first get up, of listening to them just as you go to sleep. Because spiritually intelligent people use singing to put their hope in God. You can put your hope in something else. People do put their hope in their friends. But when it comes to it, they're not going to be there in the middle of the night unless they're very close friends. You put your hope in your employer that they're going to come up with something. Put your hope in your pills. Put your hope in exercise. You put your hope that something will turn up. That's all very well. But the best place to put your hope is in God. Okay? And one of the ways we do that is by singing. Let's have a prayer. I'm going to use this opportunity to pray for Brenda and pray for all those other people who know that they need to reach for the cross during the night as well. Father, I want to thank you for the way in which you've been teaching Brenda uniquely about how you meet her needs, even when the problems are insoluble. And Lord, just using her as a springboard to pray for the rest of us. Pray for each of us who find at times that we need a song in the night, need you to speak to us, that we'll find that place where you will bring words of songs, words of scripture, and whether it's a psalm or a hymn or one of those spiritual songs that we make up ourselves, that we will know what it is to be able to find resources to put our hope in you. Amen. Okay, that's it.